Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the spiritual food that you nourish us with from your word and the way that you look after us from day to day. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20 to 24, Amplified. We are taking precautions so that no one will find anything with which to discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable and above suspicion, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found to be diligent in many things, but who is even more diligent than ever, because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker in your service. And as for the other two brothers, they are special messengers of the churches, a glory and credit to Christ. Therefore, show these men in the sight of the churches the proof of your love and our reason for being proud of you. It only mentions two of the people in this scripture. So we're going to go back a little bit in the chapter. We'll read from verse 16, TPT. We give thanks to God for putting the same devotion I have for you into the heart of Titus. Of course, he enthusiastically accepted our request to go to Corinth, but because he carries you in his heart, he'd already planned on coming. So we're sending with him the brother who is greatly honored and respected in all the churches for his work of evangelism. Not only that, he has been appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion as we carry and dispense this generous gift that glorifies the Lord and shows how eager we are to help. We are sending a team in order to avoid any criticism over how we handle this wonderfully generous gift. And so to avoid any misunderstandings or any charges of corruption, they have three people taking this gift to the church in Jerusalem. So if only one person was taking it, then some might say, oh, but there was so much money and now there's only a lesser amount. But with three people, they can testify to each other's honesty and basically there can be no argument about the integrity of the money getting to the end destination. According to a note in the TPT, the brothers mentioned in verses 18 and 22 were identified as apostles. Many have tried unsuccessfully to identify them, but there are many possibilities, including Timothy, Luke, Barnabas, Apollos, Mark, Erastus, Silas, Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Tychicus, and Trophimus. Regardless of these apostles' identities, we know that Titus was the leader of this delegation and that all three were apostles of the church. Now, in this instance, they seem to be concerned about pleasing God, but they're also concerned about the good opinion of men. How come? When Jesus was growing up, we see in Luke 2, verse 52, NKJV, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And so Jesus also increased in wisdom, and he obviously grew taller as he was growing up, and in favor with God and men. That means that God was pleased with him and people also respected him. And in the advice to Titus in Titus 2 verse 6 to 8 TPT, likewise, guide the younger men into living disciplined lives for Christ. Above all, set yourself apart as a model of a life nobly lived. With dignity, demonstrate integrity in all that you teach. Bring a clear, wholesome message that cannot be condemned, and then your critics will be embarrassed with nothing bad to say about us. And so we are obviously more intent on pleasing God than pleasing mankind, but having a good reputation amongst even the unbelievers is really important, and it is one of the characteristics of a church leader. This is seen in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 2. If any of you aspires to be an overseer in the church, you have set your heart toward a noble ambition, for the word is true. Yet an elder needs to be one who is without blame before others. He should be one whose heart is for his wife alone, and not another woman. He should be recognized as one who is sensible and well-behaved and living a disciplined life. He should be a spiritual shepherd who has the gift of teaching and is known for his hospitality. And so good behavior, which is actually in line with the law of love, remember that is the only law that we live by, to love God and to love one another. When you love somebody, you're going to be nice and kind and polite to them, and you're going to take your responsibilities seriously and not let them down and be disciplined and show hospitality and all of these characteristics that are required in a church leader. These are also required of a child of God. In Romans 12 verse 18, we are also reminded, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So we don't want to pick fights, we don't want to start up arguments, even arguing with people about the gospel is okay to a certain degree, but be careful, because it can lead to hot tempers, it can lead to a wider disagreement. And if you look at the book of Acts, the one church where there was a lot of arguing done was the church of Athens. And there is no 1 Athenians book, 2 Athenians book in the Bible. So my contention is that the love of God brings people to repentance, not arguments. Another place where we're encouraged to live the kind of life that pleases God is in Philippians 2, verse 15 in KJV. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And so, yes, there is a lot of horrible stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of crookedness, there's a lot of perversion, there's a lot of corruption, and especially with the news that we hear of today, with things happening that are quite mind-boggling, but this is not meant to distress us. This is meant to just remind us that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We do not belong here. We are citizens of a different kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We are here as travelers. We are here as diplomats in order to shine our lights so that the people of the world can see the love, the joy, the peace, the beauty of God as lived through our lives. And as we all know, there is only one way to get to heaven. Jesus himself said so. It's in red letters in the Bible. In John 14 verse 6 in KJV. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so anyone that says all roads lead to Rome or all religions lead to heaven is sadly mistaken. Because if there was another way for people to get to the Father, then Jesus died on the cross for no reason, and that's ludicrous. Jesus himself prayed with blood in his sweat. He was sweating blood. He was so stressed about it. And he prayed to his loving Father, and he said, if there's any other way, take this cup away from me. But I know there's no other way. I'd love to imagine what happened in heaven before Jesus was born as a baby. Maybe Jesus said, what if I give all I have? What if I lay down my life for those people that we created, that we love so much? And the Father and the Son and the Spirit decided together, let's do this. Jesus was not sent as an unwilling party. When Jesus was sent to earth by the Father, he wasn't sent like a messenger that is sent somewhere with a message whether he wants to take it or not. Remember, Jesus is God. So he was sent by himself, if you want to look at it that way, because he wanted to redeem us that he loved so much, because he knew that we would love him back. And that was reward enough for him to go through with that horrible experience so that we could live to be free forever with him throughout eternity. And so Jesus leaves us with this command. It's also in red letters in the Bible. It's Jesus' own words. He said in Matthew 5 verse 16 in KJV, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so while we cannot earn our salvation, we can work out our salvation and glorify our Father in heaven so that people can want what we've got, so that people can see his beauty, his grace, his mercy, his abundant, amazing grace, his beauty, his love. I can't even describe the beauty, the gloriousness. Yeah, he's indescribable. and we reflect some of that beauty, some of that love, some of that grace, some of that peace, some of that joy when we live our lives shining our lights for Him. Jesus said it approximately 2,000 years ago, and I say it on a regular basis, shine your light. So let's shine our lights.